The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
The second hour is here, and we appreciate all of you joining us. We'll get some more calls before we head to Baton Rouge. Craig is calling next. Good afternoon, Craig.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thanks.
Man, huge fan of the show. Huge Georgia fan. I was going to talk about Kirby Smart. He gets a lot of bad slack. I listened to King Kentucky talk about him on Facebook this weekend. And, you know, and even myself as a Georgia fan, and early on I thought maybe he should win right away. And what it was happening in there was maturing as a coach. Kirby, when he first came in, wasn't a mature coach. And over the years, I've noticed that he has matured tremendously. And this year, we may not win the next game, but he has matured as a coach. I want to see what you think about that.
I think he has morphed into a phenomenal coach. And I think, you know, the first year, it was a learning curve. But after that, I think he's been off and running. And I've never really doubted him. So I'm glad to hear you say that. But I totally agree. And we will talk to Coach Smart Friday afternoon when we are in Athens. Thank you for the call. Taylor is in Florida. Hello, Taylor. Taylor, are you there? Good afternoon. I feel like I'm talking to myself. Mike is up next in Georgia. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I've been trying for years to get on your show, and I happened to get through this time, man, and so glad to be on.
Fantastic.
And I wanted to speak on the guy that said that, you know, the Alabama fan that said Georgia hadn't played anyone. And, you know, if I got my schedules right, I believe, you know, Georgia played three ranked teams or teams that were ranked at the time that we played them. You know, and I believe the same is for Alabama. I believe they've played three also. And
well, you know, listen, anybody who makes that, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, not only that, they played the number two team in the country at the beginning. They're playing the number 11 team. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether Georgia has played number three ranked Clemson, and you know, Auburn was in the top 20, Kentucky's in the top 11, Florida. So what does all that mean? Can somebody tell me that?
Well, that's exactly what I'm getting at. You know, you got the Bama fans. You know, they're not used to losing. You know, and they lost, so they're all up in arms about it and all. You know, and but I mean, Alabama's allowed what 132 points this year against, you know, pretty similar opponents. You know, strength of schedule that Georgia played, but yeah, they've allowed, you know, almost what 80 something more points than we have than Georgia.
Yeah, listen, Georgia, the great part about Georgia is they will take care of themselves. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Michael is in Louisville. Hey, Michael, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
So I just wanted to ask you real quick, just like, what do you think Kentucky needs to do this weekend to beat Georgia down there in Athens?
I'm afraid I don't have a plan for them to win the game. I don't think they're going to win the game unless you can convince me of it.
So, like, you saw the passing attack and the running attack this weekend against LSU. That was pretty good. And
yeah,
Georgia
I think what you have to do here is you and everyone wants to measure their team against what they just did, and I realize that's all you can do, but you know, what they're going to see with Georgia's defense is not going to be recognizable compared to LSU. LSU is a banged-up team. They are battered, and they are sinking into the abyss. I just think, you know, what Kentucky has to do is just keep playing the way they're playing and hope for the best. And I'm not scheming the game. That's Mark Stoops' job. But yeah, I think you have to be realistic. This is a big hill to climb, and I think smart people know that. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's talk to Chris in Ohio. Hello, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? How you feeling?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Two things. I'm a lifelong Gators fan, and I've been hearing whispers about Anthony Richardson possibly transferring, considering the fact that, you know, there's no way that Emory Jones is going pro after this season. So, you know, I'm pretty concerned about that. And then, two, why haven't Lorenzo Lingard and Bowman been getting a lot of at least more playing time than what they have? Because, you know, those are two possible, you know, first or second round draft picks that I think that could also open the game up a little bit more. Because Florida's offense should be a lot more explosive than what it is.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, I'm glad you called about that, because we're talking in about 45 minutes with Edgar Thompson, who covers the team. And those are really good questions to ask somebody who's an expert as opposed to me. Jim is in North Carolina. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Paul. Glad to get on your show. I've been watching a long time. I've never been able to get through. I'd like to make a comment on Alabama. I think I know what's wrong with them.
What's that?
I was born and raised an Alabama fan, and this is undoubtedly the worst team that Saban's ever put on the field. And I think the problem is that they need a defensive coach, a coordinator. They need a running back, a wide receiver, and they need a quarterback that ain't scared. And we'd be the greatest football team in the world.
Well, when you say it's the worst teams, now I'm sure you're skipping the first year when you say that.
No, I'm not, other than the first year.
Right.
Is what I meant to say.
But I'm trying to think, and you're probably right.
I mean, we don't have any defense at all, and we haven't had one since this Pete Golden took over. We haven't had a defense for 3 years now.
Yeah, I mean, Pete Golden to me is like watching one of these stocks on Triple Witching Hour. I mean, he has his good moments, but I have never been sold on him, and he comes and goes. But I think at some point, but you know, I wonder though, you know, what do we see in Pete Golden compared to what Nick Saban sees?
I have no idea. I don't know what Saban sees in him. Also, I do know that Bryce Young is probably a great little quarterback. He has a good arm, but he plays scared. He don't want to run the ball. He don't want to get dirty.
Yeah, but
he's
Jim,
not a leader.
Remember something. He's not a big guy. That's obvious. He does not have a great offensive line. I don't blame him for trying to preserve himself, because if you think this is a questionable Alabama team, and we're judging them by Alabama standards, not by anybody else's, then try taking a look at this team without Bryce Young. Trey is up next.
How are you, my friend?
We're doing great, Trey. Good afternoon.
Hey, I got a question for you I've heard nobody ask, and then I want to throw a chaos scenario at your way and get your opinion.
Okay.
My question is, at the end of the Texas A&M game, I believe it was about 58 seconds left, and that's when A&M got into field goal range, and Alabama had two timeouts left. How come they didn't use their timeout to try to preserve some time?
Yeah, just like Saban was asked at halftime about the timeouts in the first half. He didn't have an answer, and I'm not sure he has an answer for this one.
Yeah, I mean, you got to assume that offense is pretty good, and Alabama now has a field goal kicker, so that just kind of puzzled me a little bit. What throw chaos at you? Ohio State beats Iowa, they're both 12-1. Alabama beats Georgia, they're both 12-1. Oklahoma and Cincinnati is undefeated. Which two teams are getting left out?
Well, let's talk about what we know. If Alabama beats Georgia and its only loss is Texas A&M, Alabama will be in the playoffs. Georgia will be in the playoffs, okay? So
Ohio State would be, don't you think? 12-1, Big Ten champ.
Ohio State would be, and then it's simply a matter of what else happens after that.
Iowa, Oklahoma undefeated, Cincinnati undefeated.
Well, if Oklahoma is undefeated, then I think they will get in.
So an undefeated Cincinnati would be left out again.
Yeah, remember, the conference championship is supposed to be a premium. I'm on with Heather Dinich enough, and I hear her mention that all the time. That is a critical data point of the committee. Cincinnati does not have the schedule that compares. They're a great team. They've done remarkable things, but they just don't have what it takes to compare to either a one-loss Alabama or Georgia, or an undefeated
or
Oklahoma,
Ohio State.
Or an Oklahoma whose only loss is to a really good team.
Well, and if Ohio State was to beat Iowa, they have one loss that they went up. But so I think Iowa and Cincinnati would be out like you, Paul.
Ohio State would not have any problems at all getting in as the Big Ten champion.
Correct.
Cincinnati, I mean, here's the problem for Cincinnati. They play UCF this week. That should have been a bellwether game. UCF has lost three games already. Navy, Tulane, Tulsa, South Florida. The game that can help them the most is SMU. But it's not going to help them enough. We are heading to the break. Appreciate you being here. We'll head to Baton Rouge shortly and find out what in the world is going on the Bayou. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So listening again to Coach O talk about the health of his team and his job status. Bree Andrews joins us. She is the sports director of Tiger TV down in Baton Rouge. Bree, thank you very, very much. What a complicated story this is to follow. Before we get to Coach O, let's talk about the health of this team, because I swear every time I look up, another key player has gone down.
Yeah, you know, I was getting ready to come on today and this morning, and I heard that Eli Ricks is out for the rest of the season, which is a big blow to our team. Derek Stingley just had surgery. We don't know his return date. Kayshawn Boutte is out for the rest of the year. So is Andre Anthony. So it's both sides of the ball that they're really struggling, which is so disappointing for the amount of talent that's on this team.
Bree, the Florida game is always huge. We know the intensity of and the rivalry between both schools. This game is at 11 a.m., not a preferred starting time. Can you tell us what the mood is on that campus about this particular game?
Yeah, you know, Florida's always a big game, especially after last year with the shoe game, and then the year before that, what an electric game that was. Honestly, it was one of the best experiences I've ever had in Tiger Stadium in 2019. But the mood is different. We're not having the season we expected. I said it last time I came on the show with Peter Burns. You know, I was hyping them up. I was expecting a really good season. You know, we were projected 7-3, but it's just not looking that way so far, and the injuries, you know, don't help our situation. People are frustrated. Fans are frustrated. Just things I've heard. I had one of my reporters do an MOS story asking students around campus what they felt about, you know, the team, and students are upset. They're frustrated, fans alike. I think that they will pull through. Everyone who is an LSU fan always roots for them and wants them to win, and I want that for the success of this team. I'm working the game, so I'll be out there bright and early on the field, so I think it'll be an exciting one, and you know, they can surprise us. They can show out for us. And you know, the people that are going to step in for our players that are injured can really have their time to shine and show out and possibly make this game really competitive, if not pull out a win.
Bree, let's talk about the reality of the situation. And everything I'm about to say, you already know, and so does every student on that campus. But we all know the record since Joe Burrow and all those great coaches left. We know Coach O is struggling. Yeah, he lost last week. He's an underdog to Florida. The next games are incredibly difficult with Ole Miss and Alabama, Arkansas, Texas A&M later on. What's the realistic situation down there? I mean, is there a sense on that campus that he is about to go?
Yeah, and with the man on the street story that one of my reporters did yesterday, it was kind of a mixed opinion from other students. Some people are saying, you know, Coach O has done his time. He's a good recruiter. He's a good hype man, but maybe he's not a head coach. That's what I heard from one of the students. And someone else said, you know, we just need to let him go. Someone else said, let's let him wait out for the rest of the year. You know, we just won a national championship, not even a full 2 years ago. So I think he deserves that much, they said. So I think Coach O means a lot to the state of Louisiana. I'm born and bred Louisiana. Coach O and I are from the same parish. So he means a lot to the culture. And no one wants to see this team fail. Coach O, more than anyone, he said it on Monday in his press conference, that he knows the LSU standard of performance. He lives it. He, more than anyone, wants this team to do the best that they can. But I think Scott Woodward will make the right decision in this case, in this matter. So I guess we'll just have to wait and take it game by game and week by week and see what happens.
That part of what you just said is so interesting because in being in Lexington the other day, I was around a lot of LSU fans like you are every day, and they all feel the same way. They love this guy, but they're wondering if he can get the job done. In fact, the fans I was talking to, I wasn't talking to students. I was talking to people that paid good money to fly to Lexington and stay in hotels. They felt like as much as they love him, he wasn't going to survive. I know that that's a difficult dichotomy to try to digest and differentiate, but you know, what gives here, do you think?
You know, and I thought about this since this season started. We have talented guys. We've had a top recruiting class within the last few years, especially since Coach O's taken over. He's such a great recruiter. We've had a top recruiting class. It's not that our guys aren't talented or our guys can't do what they're supposed to do to win games. I'm not a coach. I'm not a player. I really don't know what goes on in that facility whenever the media is not around, that is not transpiring onto the field during game time situations. But I think that it's very strange how we went from 15-0, one of the greatest seasons ever in college football, and now we're between two seasons, we're 8-8. And it's frustrating to fans. It really is. It's frustrating to come from such a high and go down to such a low. But I think that we're just going to have to ride out the storm. I don't think the program itself is in jeopardy. I don't think that our guys are bad by any means. I think we're very talented as a team. We're stacked with top recruits every single year. But something, I think, has to give. Something has to come to light, that some things need to change in the programs and things need to change in the staff to get back to a top-ranked program. Because it's not like LSU football has never been a powerhouse. We've been a powerhouse for as long as I can remember. I've watched LSU football my whole life. We've always been a powerhouse, and it's just very lackluster for the past 2 years. And Coach O, more than anyone, knows that. He said it multiple times that he knows that they're not playing to LSU standard performance. And I genuinely do hope that they get to that level this season, if not next. But it's a tough situation for sure. And everyone in Baton Rouge, all fans, coaching, players, everyone's frustrated with how this season's going out. I didn't expect it at all. I expected this season to be amazing. But it just didn't work out that way, unfortunately.
When you sit there every Monday, I think he says it's Tell the Truth Monday. He is very honest, but most coaches wouldn't even talk about their job status. What is it like watching this unfold as somebody who is so invested? We're in the position you're in.
Yeah, Coach O, he said it on Monday. He said, no one's told me my job status. I mean, it's all speculation. Nothing has ever been confirmed that Coach O's job's on the line. No one has ever come out and said that was a confirmed thing. it's all speculation and hearsay and people just guessing and predicting and assuming that that might happen. But we don't know anything for sure. And I think they're going to keep all of that under wraps until a decision is made. And people are going to feel one of two ways about it. Some people don't want him to leave. They want to give him another year. Some people think he deserves, you know, after such a great season in 2019, he deserves at least to play the rest of this season out before they make a decision. Some people think they should let him go mid-season like they did with Les Miles a few years ago and put in someone new as an interim. So I think it can go two both ways, but it's sad to see everything unfold after the year we did have 2 years ago. Coach O's frustrated. The team's frustrated. Fans are frustrated. It's sad to see, but I really do want nothing best for this team and Coach O, because Coach O genuinely is such a nice person. I very ironically ran into him at a gas station one time, and he was genuinely the nicest person I've ever met. And he takes pictures with everyone. He's so nice, so approachable. So I think I want the best for Coach O, but I think Scott Woodward will make that decision when the time is right.
Bree, thank you. I know it's not easy, you know, being on that campus, doing what all of you and your colleagues do and have to deal with a very tough situation. Thank you. Appreciate your time very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. We'll take a break. Get your reaction to all of that. More phone calls and more guests as we continue here on a Wednesday.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome you back. And Steve is up next in California. Hello, Steve.
What it was? Put it in there, Steve.
Steve, you are on the air.
What do we got here, brother?
Is this thing on?
Yeah, it's on. Hope it is.
Steve, you're on the air.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Feinbaum. I've been on the air for about 35 minutes. I might have lost my train of thought. Excuse me. But anyway, point I'm trying to make is Oberman. I mean, the coach for LSU, is he got open target or something? I mean, this guy's a good coach. He's LSU through and through. And LSU got a short little temper, I think. They don't seem to have compassion for their coaches very much. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to go with the injuries. You got to go with situations. You got to go with your schedule. And this guy has worked his tail off for the Tigers. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm in Oakland. We don't get the information you guys get in the SLC. All right? But we get information. But I didn't realize they had that many injuries. My goodness. Nobody talks about that. All they talk about is firing Oberman. I mean, I don't get it.
Hey, Steve, I hate to interrupt you, but have you watched LSU sure. play this year?
LSU, I saw a couple of games. They have no defense, mm-hmm. and their offense is very limited too.
Okay,
they're not a very good football team. But yeah. they are hurt.
They are hurt now. They lost the first game before they started getting banged up, even though they did lose a starting quarterback before the season. Well, anyway, I appreciate your call. You have a great day. Thanks for being here. And let's check in with Tim, who is in Athens. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great.
You know, I was surprised that game day is going back to Athens. This will be their third showing for the Bulldogs this year. That's unheard of.
Yeah, well, they did the first game in Charlotte. I will say this. Game day has gone back to the same place before during a season, but I don't think they've ever gone back within 2 weeks.
Right. And also, your show is going to be there, SEC Nation.
Right.
And Marty and McGee, I mean, what's your proximity to where they're setting up at the quad?
Not that close. We've done shows from the quad before, and I believe we're nowhere near there. We're going to be at the Special Collections Library, which is closer to the stadium.
Right. Okay. And I was wondering, since, I mean, they're both SEC or ESPN based programs, are you guys planning on sharing host or cast or?
I'm not really planning on doing anything other than our show Friday and the SEC show Saturday.
Gotcha. So do you know the record for who's had the most game days in a year? I'm sure it's Alabama, Ohio State.
Yeah, I know Alabama has had it twice. I think I heard somewhere, somebody told me this the other day, Southern Cal once had at least two, maybe three. But this is
because almost every year.
Yeah, I mean, I was the year I traveled with Game Day, which was before the network started. We went to Florida State twice, which was really We went to Clemson twice. We were there for the opening weekend, then we went there for the Florida State game. That's what I was thinking about, and that was in fairly twice in 7 weeks, which I thought was pretty pretty bizarre. A lot of it depends on circumstances. I'm just guessing here that Game Day was probably going to Cincinnati this week. You thought they would have a really big game with UCF, and then UCF has just simply imploded, so it hurt that game. And otherwise, there, you know, LSU Florida would have been a game they would normally look at. Didn't happen. Maybe Mississippi State, Alabama, and then Alabama lost. So, I mean, there weren't a lot of good choices. There are not many good games this weekend, I think, is the only way to solve that puzzle.
I mean, I actually went out and looked at it, trying to project where they were going to go, and I didn't see any good games either.
No, I remember Saturday morning when we were in Lexington, we were talking about we were always going to the Georgia-Kentucky game, and somebody mentioned that Game Day was looking at it, and I'm like going, there's no way they can do that twice in 2 weeks, and they did it was either going to, I'm pretty sure it was going to be they had Cincinnati penciled in. I don't know why they backed out on Cincinnati, because it's still a pretty good place to go considering they're number three in the country.
Right, and that they almost every year go to the SEC championship game, so that would be a four game.
Yeah, I mean, they don't look at it that way. I mean, they primarily look at because Alabama is included in game days a lot, whether it's home or away. But it's primarily being on the campus. That's the key thing. Neutral site, because, you know, we've been at Alabama. We were at the Alabama-Miami game. We were at the Florida-Alabama game. So it's really more about where the game is, not how many times the team is involved. Outlaw is up next. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Paul.
Hey there.
I want to make about, can you hear me?
I sure can.
All right, well, I just want to make a really an analysis about the Alabama football team. I'm a big fan, and I watch just about every game, but after about the second game of the season, I said they have a big problem. Everybody's got this hype on this quarterback, and he can't throw the deep ball. Not accurate. He can throw it 80 yards, but he can't hit a receiver. Then we look at our secondary. But that's what happened in halfway through the Florida game. But Dan Mullen figured it out, and he knew he didn't have to worry about the deep ball. Texas A&M didn't have to worry about the deep ball. They came out of the gate. That's the reason they can stack them 6, 7, 8 in the box, and then they make Bryce Young, even with his arm, he's not capable of hitting that quick deep, pass. And I'll hang up and listen.
By the way, it's a pretty good analysis. Al is up next in Memphis. Hey, Al.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Thank you.
I just need a quick thing on your concept of Coach O. He keeps giving these excuses, you know, and all this kind of stuff. He's a great guy and all this kind of stuff. But look at his record when he was at Ole Miss. I mean, it's beginning to show what his coaching abilities is. Is that correct?
Well, I think he is – one thing about O, he's, you know, he's more of a CEO coach than he is a play caller. He was a line coach and a really good one.
Yeah.
So he's not a coordinator, so he doesn't make the calls. And, you know, what you need him to do is make really good decisions on coaches. And I don't think he's done that. You know, he did it early on. I'm trying to remember if Aranda was part of Les Miles' staff or not. I can't remember. But
Yeah, he was. Okay. I think he was,
I thought he was. So, yeah, I thought he really showed himself last year when he brought in Bo Pelini. It was a bad decision, and I'm not sure it's gotten any better. Now, he has been, as Bree said, you know, he's been engulfed in injuries, but who hasn't? Maybe nobody to his degree.
Well,
But that's not going to ultimately. You have to make a decision, and it's my thought. You can't wait too long to make this decision. You have to look for the trend line, and that's why the Florida game and the Ole Miss game are so critical. Because
that's what he was talking about when they interviewed him at halftime. You know, we got to quit throwing the ball to the tailbacks. We got to quit doing this. Well, it never changed.
No, he does a couple of things every year. He oversells his team. He sounds a little bit like a high school coach at the opening pep rally. And then, you know, fans start buying in, and ultimately these things catch up to him, and you can't argue with the record. I mean, he's losing games he should not be losing. He should not have lost the Auburn game. The Kentucky game he should have lost.
No.
He should not have lost the UCLA game.
And
he adds on top of that little bitty things that rub people the wrong way. And quite frankly, Al, it doesn't matter whether you're from the same parish as he is, or you love his accent, or you love the story. I think everyone does. That's not going to save his job. We're up against a break. We are coming back with much, much more. We'll head down to Gainesville in a few minutes, and we will take more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Here on a Wednesday, and Sean is up next. How are you, Sean?
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
Great, thank you.
Hey, I was just curious. You know, it seems like Coach O's days are numbered. And has anyone brought up the possibility of Dave Aranda being targeted?
You know, I haven't heard it, but I think he would be good.
Yeah,
he's really done a phenomenal job at Baylor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just hadn't heard anybody bring up his name, and I was curious as to why not.
I don't know. He knows the territory. You know, he was well-liked when he was there. So I think that's an interesting name to keep your eye on. I totally agree with you on that. Hey, thank you very, very much. Paul is in Ohio. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? It's my first time calling. I appreciate it.
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I was just wanting to talk about the Western and the Eastern Conference and the SEC. I'm a Bulldogs fan. I'm not a Buckeye fan. I just want to put that out there.
Thank goodness.
But, the Western Conference, man, it's like everybody is going to have two or three or four losses. They're all ranked teams playing each other, and everybody wants to talk about records and losing a game here and there. How can you not lose a game if you're not Alabama or Georgia?
Well, it's very difficult. I think we're going to start to see it right now. The Big Ten, you know, you have a bunch of undefeated teams, but that will not be the case in a few weeks. And I think with the SEC, you have two remaining, and you'll only have one next week. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Logan in North Carolina. Hello, Logan.
Hey, Paul. Long time no talk, buddy. How are you doing?
Man, how are you?
I'm doing great. Life's been kicking me around a little bit, but it's good to talk to you again, sir.
Wonderful.
I just want to talk a little bit about Alabama's defensive woes. I hate to tell people to lose their job, but I'm not big on Pete Golden. We've seen him the last couple of years, and I just feel like Alabama, we got too much talent on the defensive side of the ball to be playing like we are. I mean, how many times do they run right up the gut on us? Our DBs couldn't cover anybody, so I think he should be gone at the end of the year. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, what I think doesn't matter, but I do agree with you that the defense has not played at an elite level. Even last year, which when Alabama played about as well overall as they could. You know, Golden's unit was gashed a couple of times. Ole Miss, Florida.
Yep.
And yeah, that's I know the game is different with you know the high octane offenses. That does not help a defense very much, but it doesn't seem to be bought. Well, of course, Georgia doesn't have a high octane offense, but there's some moments, in, especially on the line of scrimmage. I mean, they don't this year. This doesn't seem like they have that any dynamic players up front.
Yeah, I mean, nobody ever ran on us up the middle, Paul. I mean, that's ridiculous. Nobody ran, and then this year it's just been happening too much. And so, yeah, I don't know. They're going to have to relook at that. One other thing I want to talk to you about was the Coach O thing. I think he probably will be fired midseason. I think he's going to lose at least probably three or four more games this year, and I think he doesn't get past the bye week. I would think, though, probably LSU should probably look at Hugh Freeze. I mean, I don't like the guy. I know you have a relationship with him, and you know, you probably know more than I do about what his plans are.
Well,
but
let me say this about Hugh Freeze. I don't. I mean, I know. I'm not. I mean, I do know Hugh Freeze pretty well. I know what his story is. I don't know whether anybody believes his story about what happened in the past. I mean, I sat there with him one night, Logan, and in full disclosure, I met him in Ole Miss when we were there and. We went out to dinner, and he took me through the whole phone scam, and I walked out of there thinking this guy is the most honest person in America. I mean, I was ready to write him in for president.
Right.
And then I started telling friends of mine the story, and they just started laughing at me. They said, "You bought it? You bought all that?" And so it told me a couple of things. He is a great salesman. And what does your head coach need to be? You need to be dynamic in recruiting, and you need to know something about coaching. He's a great offensive coach. He's dynamic in salesmanship. So, yes, I see what you're talking about. Whether he's believable or not is another story.
Right. But, I mean, I think he's going to get a job in the SEC eventually, so I don't see why LSU wouldn't grab him. I mean, I know he's had the problems, and LSU's under a cloud of suspicion right now.
My gut feeling is they won't hire him. Because when you fire somebody like Ed Orgeron, and I know that he'll get fired primarily if he does because of the one loss record, but there are other issues out there. I think it would be tougher to bring Hugh Freeze in,
right?
When your university is being sued for Title IX violations,
right?
And then you bring a guy in who got fired ostensibly because. Not only was a university under investigation by the NCAA, but he's alleged to have used a school a burner phone to hook up with escorts. I mean, I don't think that's going to work. Whether I'm representing Hugh Freeze here or not, I'm not doing a very good job. I'm just trying to spit the truth out.
Well, that's true. I think you've convinced me now. Yeah, he's probably not the man for the job.
Well, but he is. I'll say one thing about Hugh Freeze. One of the least talked about games of the year will be in a few weeks when Liberty goes to Oxford. Keep your eye on that game. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.